W263 AI Murfreesboro. W270 AF Murfreesboro.
WGNS Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Right now the time, 8:13, you are tuned to WGNS. Temperature outside right around 72, but Don Wright, who is in studio with us, says it feels hotter than that already. Have you already been to the healing field this morning?
No, I have not.
I bet you've spent some time out there, though, in the last couple of days.
We were out there yesterday doing what's called marking the field, and went real good. Nice sunny weather, and we got that done, and we set a few things up yesterday. But today they're driving the rebar with the flags that go on it.
Now, we're not headed out that direction till Saturday. By Saturday, tomorrow, it's all going to be set up.
Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and we're certainly inviting any church group or Boy Scout groups, anything like that, to come out. We will post over 800 flags at 8 a.m. and then have a brief opening ceremony tomorrow.
So, it takes a lot to put this together. I mean, because you're talking about a lot of flags, and they all have to be in a perfect row.
Right. Yesterday, they laid them out. They're all laid out in a military grid. They are 5 feet apart if you go up and down the road, and then they're 10 feet apart if you go side to side. And the reason for that is you could walk between the flags, and if the flags are in a breeze, you don't get hit by the material. Also, we've done that because we have handicapped people who come out, and we can drive a golf cart down between those flags and let them see the mementos and things that are hanging on some of the flags.
Now, last year, I saw some families actually taking some family photos out there at the field. That's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea. We've had people not only with the flags that they've sponsored, but we do have the silhouette of a soldier down in a prayer stance, and we have a lot of people who have their picture made there because it's right next to one of the flags, and it's a beautiful scenery with all the American flags flapping in the wind.
And I failed to mention, Don Wright is with the Exchange Club, and the Exchange Club, the Murfreesboro Exchange Club, is who puts all this together.
Right, well, there's two clubs in town. We are the Noon Club, and our Great Evening Club does the Celebrity Waiters Dinner, but this is the Noon Club that puts this on solely.
Now, you are the National Exchange Club president this year. Have other exchange clubs done this as well?
Yes, I've been to Tempe, Arizona. They do a real big healing field over September 11th. They have a flag for every person who was killed in either the Pentagon or in the Trade Center or even in the airplanes. And you can go, they have them sectioned off by where the people who were on the airplane were, the buildings and all that. We have a real good field in Naperville, Illinois, that they do the same thing. But, yes, nationwide we've done that. But it's not just exclusively to the Exchange Club, but we do have the franchise for Murfreesboro.
Now, how many years has it taken place in Murfreesboro?
This will be our sixth year.
And we've got a new location this year.
We have a new location. Peter Dees decided to build a restaurant, which we're glad. And I will compliment Peter Demas. He waited last year to break ground so we could have it on the field there last year. But we have had to move to 3041 Memorial. Best way to describe that is next to Family Worship Center. It's a field they own next to their church across from Wilson Bank at the intersection of Osborne Lane.
That's a really big field, and there's going to be a lot of parking there, too.
There's a lot of parking. The church has a lot of parking back there, and then if we have to, Wilson Bank has been complimented to let us use their parking lot over this weekend since obviously they're closed.
How many volunteers does it take to put the healing field together?
Well, we will take as many as we can tomorrow morning because, just you said, of posting over 800 flags. And they go out, they slip the pole over a piece of rebar, and then unfurl the flag. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but you got to walk 500 feet almost to get to the first flag on the far end of the road. But to answer your question, over the weekend, we will have anywhere from 40 to 50 volunteers out there daily.
Is this something kids can volunteer for tomorrow as well? I know you said scouts, but yep. What age are you looking at?
We really prefer, we don't mind the kids coming out there as long as they've got adult supervision. We do have exposed rebar, and we want to make sure an adult, let's say a child who's 4 or 5 years old, could fall and hit that rebar and cut themselves. But we prefer that it be maybe above 12 years old if they're actually going to do it on their own. But we've had parents out there, and it's neat to see a 3 or 4 year old holding on to the end of the flagpole while dad's carrying the main part and going out there with them. So it is a family affair.
Tell us some of the stories that you've heard over the years of people who come out there.
Scott, it's a lot of people say, well, you're selling flags. And let me say, we are not in competition with Fain Haynes or Holden Hardware or Home Depot or any of those. Yes, we're selling a flag, but we're selling the emotion of what that flag is. And the reason it's called a healing field is maybe someone's lost a relative or even has someone currently serving. It's a chance to just go out there and reflect. But when you have a situation of 3 years ago, I had an 87-year-old World War II combat injured veteran who wanted to see the flags again and wave goodbye to his comrades. And his story was he had been on a ship in World War II. The front of the ship got hit, lost about 200 of his shipmates, but they were in a convoy. I hope that's the correct naval term. They were able to be saved by the other boats that were in the area. And so he comes out, and he just will get on his cane, he'll wave goodbye to the flags, and then go to an attention and hold a salute for about a minute. And if that doesn't tear at your heart, you know, you don't have emotions. We have a situation, 2 years ago, had a dad show up, and he told my wife, he said, and you have to follow this, my son's father-in-law purchased a flag for him. In other words, my son, couldn't find out his son had been killed in Iraq the Monday the week before. And so we had somebody run out because when we realized what was going on, the gentleman got out to the flag and basically lost it. And I don't blame him. But when he came back up, I said, thank you for your son's service. And he said, no, thank you. This allows me to heal some. I'll be at the closing ceremonies. Well, at the closing ceremonies, we read the names of the 147, I believe it is, from Tennessee who've been deceased in the war in the Middle East. And his son's name was the last one to be read. And when you see that and the emotion of it, you realize, I don't care how hot it is, how humid it is, how wet it is, I'm not making a sacrifice that other people in this country have had to make for our freedom to be able to put on the healing field.
You know, I think memorials all across the country, and this as well serves as a memorial, but it does help to allow some closure for a lot of people in situations like that.
It really does. We've had a woman out 1 year. She was in the middle of the field and just broke down crying, and she got to the parking lot, pretty much blocked traffic. No one was blowing the horn at her because she was obviously standing there sobbing quite heavily, and one of our members went over, kind of found out her son had been shipped off the week before to Iraq, and she had not had a chance to say goodbye. And we found out quickly if there was a flag out there in her son's honor, and there wasn't, and we took care of that. We do have a lot of people that will give us money, and that's to help people or families who can't afford to do a flag. And we can kind of talk to people and find out if they're really telling us the truth or not. So, you know, we try to. And let me say, we as an exchange club never started this as a fundraiser. It started as an Americanism project. We started it that people would remember what Memorial Day is about. It's not about barbecuing and drinking beer and having I saw a cartoon the other day, and a little boy standing there while Dad's grilling, and he says, Dad, how much did this cost? And in the dad, in the bubble above the dad's head, is the pictures of the tombstones at Arlington. And the point is that Memorial Day costs more than what it cost us to put on this healing field, but that's it. We want people to remember what Memorial Day is about. It's not going out on the boat. It's not about the barbecues. It's not about the car sales and the sheet sales and all that. It's about remembering how we're able to have the freedom in this country.
You know, I don't know that kids really understand all that these days. I think you start to understand it whenever you become 25, 30 years old.
Exactly. But I will tell you, one of the stories we had was a father asked me to go out with him to put a tag on a flag. And I think the little boy's name was Jake, and they go walking out. And as I'm putting the tag on the flag, little Jake, who's maybe 5, 6, the dad says, Jake, let's go down in prayer for Pawpaw. And I just stood back. And so when it was through, I said, could you tell me the story? And he said, well, I got this from my dad that my son will never know. So he'll never get to know his granddad. And the little boy, we always give the kids a little flag. It's part of our Give a Kid a Flag to Wave project. And he was kind of dragging the flag along the ground, being so short, and the dad kept trying to get him to do it. Well, I don't know what happened, but afterwards, the little boy had that little flag standing straight up. So something in that kid's mind clicked that, wait a minute, I'm in a place of reverence. I'm in a place of respect. I better take care of this flag. And those are the kind of things that just tugs at your heart.
Yeah, it's perfectly okay if people go out there and and take pictures and whatnot, I would assume, because like I said, families were taking family photos out there last year.
We encourage people to please do that. Bring your cameras. Bring if you're buying a flag. We use the term buying a flag, but it's really sponsoring a flag. You want to buy the material, that's fine. But we will give it to you at the end of the event, or we have a pickup program later. But we encourage families to come out there. We encourage you to bring photographs of those who maybe have served or are currently serving. One of the neatest things is at nighttime, you can go out and there's a little breeze going, and people have put chimes out there. And to hear those chimes just tingling in the air and the flapping of those flags, it'll send chills up and down your back. We have a lot of people who come out at nighttime, especially people who are really into photography and take nighttime photographs and do them in black and white. And we do have lights on the flag, so you still got enough light, you can get a good, decent picture of some of those flags there.
Now, the lights on the flags, of course, you're supposed to have the American flag lit at night. And I was walking with a friend of mine who's a veteran, and we walked past a business in Nashville at night and noticed they had an American flag up, but it wasn't lit. That really bothers veterans a lot.
It really bothers veterans, but the true code is that you do not have to have a direct light. As long as you can see the stars on a flag, then there is enough light on there. But out of due respect, you need to have lights on them. And because we have a lot of people come out at night in safety, that's another reason we have the lights. But it also just gives a glow to those flags at nighttime.
Can you come any time at night? I mean, if you're getting off of work at 3 a.m. from Pillsbury, can you swing by there?
You can swing by at any time. Now, we're pretty much only going to be out there until pretty much sundown each day. And we're a small group, and you just can't go 24 hours a day out there. We do have security out there. The Patriot Guard will make sure that our flags are not stolen or defaced or anything. But you're welcome to walk out anytime you would like. The first year we had this, Scott, we had 12 flags stolen. And a guy from the Patriot Guard overheard me talking about it, and he said something. I said, well, sir, if somebody's got to steal flags from a nonprofit, they need it more than we do. And he said, well, this is not going to happen again. He reached for his phone and picked up, and he said, Dreamcatcher, this is Billy Bob. Be here tonight at 9 o'clock. Bring the grills. Bring the meat. We're going to have a party out here at the Healing Field. We haven't had a flag stolen since then.
Well, I saw one of the pictures Justin Holder took recently, and it was a picture of a veteran, and he was telling Justin that he's going to be standing guard out there at the Healing Field all weekend long. He said he's not going to leave.
We have several veterans that will do that, and that is the biggest thing. The veterans come out, and a lot of them have appreciated what we're doing, because not every community has this. And the folks in Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee should take an opportunity to just come and see this. When you walk up, we have a lot of people who go, well, I don't want to get a flag. And then they walk through them, and then they come back and go, well, I need to get one for Grandpa Bob. I need to get one for Uncle Harold. I need to get one for Uncle Billy. I need to get one for Cousin So-and-so. And it's just their way of getting something. A neat story we had one year, a lady who got a flag. She had a picture made with her with the flag. She had gotten it for her dad, had served in Vietnam. She had it folded properly and put into the shadow box, the triangle shadow box, and gave that to her dad for Father's Day. She said it was the first time she had ever seen her dad cry, and he said, this is the best Father's Day gift you have ever given me. And, you realize you have a veteran. And I'll have to say, to my Vietnam veteran fans, friends out there, thank you for your service and welcome home. But a lot of the Vietnam veterans have problems with it until they finally get it out of their system and they will come in there. We have a gentleman here in town named Bill Allen, used to be with Murfreesboro Electric, and he's now at Woodfin's. But Bill served at the beaches of Normandy. And Bill will come out there and he will walk to every flag and read every tag as if he's looking for a lost comrade. And so, if that's helping Bill or helping any other veteran we've got, that's what we're wanting to do. And so we're just trying to give back to our citizens and particularly our veterans that are still with us, to honor those who have gone on before us and served. And yet, like I said, if somebody still has a child or a brother or whatever still serving in the Middle East or in the military anywhere, or let me say, Scott, if they want to do a firefighter, police officer, or even a personal hero. I've done one for my dad who passed away 3 years ago, that kind of stuff. You can do a flag for them. And like I said, it's not the material. It's the emotion that you're buying. And people go, well, why don't you give away the flags? Or why don't you? Well, those flags do cost money. This project cost the Exchange Club about $20,000 to put on. So without our corporate sponsors and then the individual flag sales, we couldn't do it. And I said, we didn't start it as a fundraiser. We don't make much money off of it. We just give our time and back to the community.
And again, flags will be for sale there at the event. So you can buy a flag in somebody's honor, in memory of maybe a father, son, something like that. How much are they?
The flags are $30. And like I said, at the end of the event on our closing ceremony, which is at 5 o'clock on Monday, after that closing ceremony, you can take the flag. We will even let you take the fiberglass pole that is on. We will not sell the rebar for several reasons, but you can take that. If you don't want the pole, we can cut the flag off and give that to you with the tag that you had bought for in memory or honor of that person.
Right now the time, 8:28. Our guest today, National Exchange Club President Don Wright, talking about the healing fields to take place right here in Murfreesboro this weekend and starting tomorrow. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Again, the time, 8:28. You're tuned to WGNS. Stay with us.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
What you can expect at Bell Jewelers, free estimates on all clock, watch, pocket watch, and jewelry repair, free jewelry cleaning, and prong check while you wait.
Bell Jewelers, the current leader in jewelry trends and in-house jewelry and watch repair.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Bell Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1879.
We'll see a few spotty showers and storms here this afternoon with a blend of clouds and sunshine, a high in the mid-80s, and winds out of the northwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 72.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den. We'd like to mention here at Music World and Drummer's Den, we've got a great lesson program for all ages and all levels. Our instructors are top-notch. I happen to be one of them. I've got 40 years behind the drums, and I can teach you a thing or two about drums. You can have fun. You can learn to play in a short amount of time. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church Street across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell from Robert's Auto Repair. What's the difference between my car repair shop and some of the others here in town? We work hard with our customers and treat them like family.
Robert's Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. Traffic easing, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway, Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial Church, and Middle Tennessee Boulevard. All traffic easing for us this Friday morning. We've got I-24 into downtown looking good as far as no accidents goes. We do have some congestion around the Icariello Parkway, Bell Road area. Dr. Beautiful prescribes the Thermage Eye Procedure, smoothing and tightening skin without surgery for only $1,750, including Botox, eye repair cream, and Latisse free. Call 931-433-6871. Or go online to drbeautiful.net. Randy O'Brien, Skywest Traffic.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit us. Enjoy a hot, delicious cookie. And we are very grateful to those customers that have helped us with our success. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
There is no better time to sell your home than now. While interest rates remain low, the real estate market in Rutherford County is booming. My name is Billy Joe Josevitz with Reliant Realty, and I will help you sell your home. Please call me today for a free listing consultation at 542-3219. Let's work together to get your home sold. Again, my number is 542-3219.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup. Buy it in the store or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
The Action Line on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
It is 8:33 right now. Temperature outside once more, about 72 degrees. Let me double check on that temperature, though. See if that's correct, because Don was saying when he came in, how warm did it feel outside?
It felt like it was closer to 80, so...
I could be off a little bit. Let me double check.
It could be climbing quickly.
It could be. I don't know. But I know yesterday, boy, it felt like it was like 90 out there, didn't it?
It did.
72 right now. So 72 looks like it's the temperature right now in downtown Murfreesboro. But it's only going upwards.
It's a great day to be an American, whether it's hot or cold.
That's right.
All right.
Now, rain or shine, there is a chance of scattered showers. It's still going to happen all weekend long at the Healing Field.
All will happen. Our soldiers have served in all kind of weather. We figure we can make the sacrifice to be out there as well. Now, I'll have to see if it becomes lightning. We may all take cover for a while and obviously want people to get out of the field. But we'll be out there, rain or shine.
Again, Don Wright is with us today from the Exchange Club. And we're talking about the Healing Field to take place all weekend long in Murfreesboro, starting tomorrow morning. And tomorrow, starting at 8, they're going to be actually putting the flags up, I guess, pole by pole.
Pole by pole, so we will already have the, in fact, they're out there today driving what we call the rebar in the grid that we will use, and then they will just go, some people will take two poles, but you go out, you put a pole on, unfurl it, come back and get another flag, and I said we welcome anybody to come out. We have it organized, and hopefully we'll have all those up within less than an hour.
Now, tell us what the Exchange Club does.
The Exchange Club is what we call America's Service Club, and that's one of the reasons we do this project. We only have clubs in the United States and in Puerto Rico, which is actually part of the United States. But we do a lot of Americanism projects. We do a lot of community service things, and we kind of laugh about the Healing Field. It's an Americanism project, it's a community service, and we make a little money off of it. Like I said, it cost us about $20,000 to put this on, so we got to make a little money to be able to do it again next year. But we're obviously real involved in the prevention of child abuse, and that is our national project. But we give sweat equity to the community. We get back and put back into the community with our Give a Kid a Flag to Wave. A lot of people have probably seen what we call our freedom shrines at some of the schools. It's the 32 historical documents, the Gettysburg Address, the surrender of the Japanese, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and those kind of things. And we just do other things and try to fill in needs that are in the community that other clubs and our government doesn't supply.
You know, for those who listen to WGNS and any other local media, they only hear a very small percentage of news stories involving child abuse because so many of them are sealed by the courts, which is a good thing, of course. But we do have some stories that go on the air about that, and I think it's important because people need to know how prevalent child abuse is.
It is, and it's a growing disease, unfortunately, as our population grows. The problem with child abuse is, I don't want to say it's a learned behavior, but it's a repeated behavior, and we find a lot of times that if a parent was abused and neglected, they tend to do the same with their children because they think that's normal. And I don't want to say a lot of people go, oh, well, you people who are in child abuse say that just spanking a child is child abuse. The problem is spanking is abuse when it goes beyond what it should be. And so we've got to be sure of that. But, you know, when you read stories and hear stories of a mother who has just left the kids in the car, that's neglect, you know, when it's 90 degrees outside. Or you take where they go into these homes and there's just trash everywhere and the child has been wearing the same diaper for 3 days. And that, you know, how did they even learn that behavior? And we come back, okay, well, there may be drugs involved. Yes and no. There are people who actually live like that.
And, you know, so many times drugs or alcohol do seem to play a factor. And that's another learned behavior a lot of times.
Exactly, it is. I know of an incident right now where there is a mother who was into meth, and the child was in the home where she was cooking it. That is considered child abuse, and she is now not allowed to see her child, 6-year-old. She's not allowed to see him without adult supervision in a setting. So there's all the things. We have this year at our national convention in New Orleans, we're going to have Miss Mallory Hagan, who was Miss America last year, come and tell her personal story. But she tells that her mother was never an affectionate type mom. And she was talking to an aunt about it one day, and finally the aunt said, "Well, Mallory, I need to tell you, your mother and I were sexually abused by Uncle So-and-so." And she was finally able to get her mother to sit down and get it out of her mom what had happened. And now she and her mom hug each other every time they see her and all that. You and I are probably used to that, but somebody who's been through that may not want to hug their child. They may not want, they don't know what to do. And so there's a lot of that goes on. And so with our prevention of child abuse, and let me say, the Child Advocacy Center and some others do great work with the post-trauma. But we're trying to teach families with our parenting classes, our parents who are going through divorce, on how to interact with the other spouse or the soon-to-be ex-spouse and keep the children at the heart of what the situation is. Because the divorce is not the fault of the children. It's the default of the adults.
I'm sure you hear just some wild stories that you would never expect to hear at some of these meetings you go to and conventions and whatnot. And I bet sometimes they just open your eyes and you just sit back and think, how could this actually happen?
That's the thing that blows my mind. How can you, number one, treat another human that way, but then an innocent child who can't fight back or knows I'm not supposed to fight back? And you're right. You know, the cigarette burns under the arms, behind the kneecaps. I was at a seminar one day in which the doctor discussed how you can tell if a child has been put in scalding water. If behind their knees is white, that means they were forced down. If you fall into a tub of hot water, you're going to start frailing everywhere. That would then burn behind the knees. But if they're forced down under your armpits, between your legs and behind the knees, is you have tensed up and the water can't get there. And so that's how the experts can figure out those things. And so you hear, why would a mother force a child into scalding hot water because they spilt their milk? And you're like, where's the logic in this? But unfortunately, there's some people just don't see the difference in that. But, you know, now you got the situation of the mothers who are taking the drugs and still breastfeeding the baby. Well, then the baby gets what's left of any drugs into their system. And you're like, why would a mother do that? Why would they put something so precious? And I think we as a society, I don't want to say everywhere, have kind of lost some of the delicacies of what life is and how we should protect our children.
You know, Exchange Club is well aware of things that are happening right here in our own community. And this child abuse, this child neglect, it is happening right here in Rutherford County on a daily basis.
Unfortunately, yes. You know, to all of our listeners, if they will just think, probably within a half a mile of where they live, there's some child has been abused or neglected in some form or fashion. And it's not always physical. You know, sometimes it can be verbal or emotional. And that leaves scars for a lifetime.
We have read police report after police report where children have been picked up from homes that were just littered in debris inside the house, pet feces all over the inside of the house, dirty dishes everywhere. And I'm not talking about dishes that were left out for 2 days because the child forgot to do them. I'm talking about all over the house, old food, rotten.
Yep.
That happens.
That happens, and you're like, where are these people's minds? And we don't know. And, you know, what made them do it? What are they doing that makes them so busy that they can't keep a clean living environment for their child? And, of course, any of that is then going to produce maybe possibly some kind of disease or something that the child can pick up. And then it just becomes a continuous cycle in the life of that child.
In some cases, untreated mental illness among the parent or parents is another problem.
Very much. Depression is a lot in the parents, and so they take a lot of their frustrations out on the young child, and they probably need to be some kind of treatment. I don't want to say necessarily medication, but probably some kind of treatment to work through that. And as I said, Scott, what we find out a lot of times is that person maybe was abused and neglected, and they're working through the emotions of that, but don't know how to treat their own child.
Now, these are all things that the Exchange Club helps out with. They help to fund organizations out there that help victims of child abuse. They help out in many different ways.
We do, and here we are luckily here in Rutherford County. We have a satellite office of our Exchange Club Family Center for the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect. It's located on Heritage Park Drive there behind Oscar's Tacos in that area. And they do teach parenting classes. Thanks to Judge Don Ash here in Rutherford County. Now, if you go through a divorce with a child, you are required to go through parenting classes, and our center there does teach it. I am proud to say that our counselors teach parenting classes out here at the Rutherford County Workhouse. And a lot of the inmates who have been out there have gone through our parenting classes. And my statistics may be wrong, but it's something like 70% of those who go through that class never come back to prison, never come back to jail. So they're learning some of the value of being a parent, and we're proud of that success ratio.
So it sounds like you've heard a lot of success stories through that.
We have heard a lot of success stories. A couple of years ago, we actually had gone before the Board of Zoning Appeals to possibly build a new Exchange Club Family Center. And a lady got up when our time came up. A lady got up, and we were like, who is she? Because we thought we would have some objections to some of the neighbors of where we're going to build. And she told the Planning Commission, Board of Zoning Appeals, they needed to approve our permit because she had been a parent who had gone through the classes, and she had learned a lot about being a parent, and that she now was a good mother and a good parent, and that we needed more room. And she just went on and on, and you're like, wow. But you have a lot of situations. Had a situation in Indiana that I know of which the mother had gotten hooked on drugs. She was entertaining her Johns in the bedroom next to where the daughter and son, little boy, but the daughter was having to take care of her little brother. The mother got straightened out. She had gone to parenting classes. She's clean. She had married, and they were a happy family. But if it hadn't been for the Exchange Love Family Center and her teaching how to be a parent and getting away from the drugs, that was the two keys there, that it worked out fine. And she married a fine Christian man, and they're raising a good family in a good church home. And the daughter had gotten a scholarship now to go on to college, and she was going to be the first one in her family in three generations, I think it was, to go to college.
You know what's surprising is, whether we know this or not, we probably all know somebody, and again, we may not know what their problem is, but a lot of us know people who have drug addictions and alcohol addictions and things like that who may be abusing or neglecting their children. We just don't see it on the outside.
We don't see it on the outside. Unfortunately, my son, grandson here in town had a friend whose father committed suicide because of drugs. But he had become a distant father. Parents were divorced. And basically had said, I don't want to see you. Imagine yourself, you're about a 10 or 12 going through that change in life and get told, I don't want to see you. Turns out the dad was on drugs, and he had OD'd and passed away. And so now that young child, who's I think he's now 14, has got to live with the fact that in his mind he may be go, well, dad overdosed because of me. Well, you know, we've got to get that kind of counseling going to that child. And so now we're working with the mother of the young man and hopefully can get some things into his head that you are precious. God makes no junk. You are precious to us.
You know what's scary is that statistics will show that the child of somebody who commits suicide is more likely to commit suicide as well.
Yep, that's correct. And, you know, that's a sad thing that happens. And unfortunately, suicide is one of those things that happened to me. That is the ultimate weakness that somebody has to do. But what have you done? And you've damaged the next generation in your family.
And when that does occur, like you said, that child has to live with that the rest of their life.
They have to live with that. And then you hope that they don't think, well, that's the answer if I have problems as well.
Right now, the time, 8:46. We've been talking a little bit about what the Exchange Club does here in Rutherford County and all over the nation. And again, they're having the great big Healing Field event coming up this weekend. Going to take place on Memorial Boulevard this year. And again, the church that is going to take place at, what is that church
it's
called?
It's Family Worship Center. They're across from Wilson Bank at Osborne Lane.
And again, it's not too late to actually get a flag and name that flag in somebody's honor there at the Healing Field.
Correct. They can call. We have a hotline number we can call, 641-0121, 641-0121, and we can still take orders, or they can come out there. We do have a website called healingfield.org/Murfreesboro, but we had to cut off online sales today because that is headquartered out of Colonial Flag in Sandy, Utah. And these are American-made flags, in case somebody wants to know. They are made in America. And but they can't get the information back to us in time. But they can call this 641-0121 number, and we'll take their order there.
And this is all on our website. This has been the featured story on the very top of the website for, I bet, 2.5 months now.
Yes, sir, Scott. And thank you guys for doing that.
So everybody can read everything all about it right there, and it specifically outlines exactly what's going to take place, what time everything's going to take place, and the closing patriotic ceremony. That's going to be 5 o'clock on Memorial Day, right?
5 o'clock on Memorial Day. We will have a very brief talk about what Memorial Day is about. We will then have a song by, I forget the gentleman's name, Lou Galatero, I believe his name. He's a operatic-type singer. We'll be singing the national anthem. We will do the Pledge of Allegiance, and if anybody asks, we do the Pledge of Allegiance just like it's written. One nation under God. There is no comma. There is no pause. It is one nation under God. And then we will have the reading of the 147, 148 names of those from Tennessee who have deceased in the war in the Middle East. We will then have what's called a three-gun volley, which we refer to as the 21-gun salute, but the official name is a three-gun volley, which is seven shots by three guns. And then we will have the plane of taps, and then we will close the field, and people can retrieve those. Let me say, too, Scott, we're doing something different this year. The flags, we will have 147 flags in the field tagged with each one of those people from Tennessee who have been deceased, and they will carry a yellow ribbon. And that is something different than we have done in the past. So people will recognize those flags as the ones if somebody who has been deceased in the war in the Middle East.
You know, I have seen numerous 21-gun salutes. I'm sure you have, too. One of the most moving 21-gun salutes was in the Arlington Cemetery that I saw. And, you know, there's just something about the pause in between the shots. It's just dead silence all around you. People totally quiet. It's very moving.
I guess you got to see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Sure, I did.
What an emotional event to watch that. But, yes, I have been able to see the 21-gun salute at Arlington, and you're right. It's just they wait until that echo sound kind of goes and does it again. And it's that a little bit way at the healing field. You can kind of do that. They take their time in doing it.
It's going to be a great event for kids out there. If you have children who have never seen a 21-gun salute or the actual playing of taps in a ceremony like this, this is something a child needs to witness.
They really do, and it gives parents a chance to have a teaching moment with that child. Let me add, too, Scott, we sell nothing else at the field except the flags. People have said, how come you don't have food? This is a memorial, and we do, luckily, Walmart and Sam's Club does donate water to us. We will have bottled water out there. In fact, the managers from Walmart and Sam's come and actually give out the water. They work the event. And I will have to say that maybe by the time our event is over each day, we may find two or three bottles out in the field. And we just assume it's some little child that maybe has dropped it and mom and dad didn't. But it's amazing that field, how pristine it stays, because people realize they're in somewhere special. And we mentioned Arlington, and I guess that's the way. In Arlington, those tombstones are lined up in that grid, and no matter where you look, there's a line. That's the same way our flags are. So I encourage people, if you come out, go down into the middle of the flags and just turn around and look. And you will look north, south, east, west, or in a diagonal. Those are lined up in a military grid.
And kind of like Arlington, it's a place where you do want to go and pay respect. I mean, I know it's not the same as Arlington, but what it represents is very similar to Arlington.
Very similar. And I guess the thing, you get out there and you will see people, especially women, you'll see their hand go to their mouth like they're trying not to cry or shed tears. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people come out. You mentioned the families, and we have a lot of families come out, and they will have their picture made with the tag on the flag. The other neat thing, as I said, we give the kids the little 3-inch by 5-inch flags, and you will look around, and some of the poles, those flags will have been placed upright around those poles. We don't care. We love that. I mentioned the Tempe, Arizona. They have people bring out combat boots, and we'll put them at the poles. Now, their event lasts all week. You can imagine at the end of the week when they pick up everything, there's the silhouette of those shoes, those boots, still on the ground. And that is one of the most, I don't want to say eerie, but it's just, you look at it and you're going, wow, somebody stood here for a whole week type thing. And so, yes, it's that's the reason it's called a healing field. It's to let families come, heal as if they were at Arlington, at a cemetery or at a tombstone, to reflect on what their family and loved one is.
Something I noticed last year and also the year before, you'd have men come out there who think, I'm not going to cry at this. This is silly. And they would walk through there, and then they read the first name, and then bam.
Right.
That's when they realize what what this represents?
Well, you're too young to remember, but in our days, we saw a lot of old war movies and stuff, and it's always like the soldiers were older men. They were 30, 35. And we have to realize these were 18 to 22-year-olds who were fighting in World War II, or the same thing at Vietnam and Korea. And you sit there and you read the name of someone who only lived 20 years, but they gave their life for this country, and they gave it for me to have the right to read their tag. They made the ultimate sacrifice, and I want to honor them and reflect on what they did for me. And if I got to cry, I don't care. I'm not embarrassed by it out there.
Something else that is very moving is when you come to the realization that somebody bought that flag in memory of maybe their child.
Correct. And I said that unfortunately happens a lot. And our husband in this case, we've had young women come out there with children who had lost their husband over in the Middle East right now. And you stand there and you just like, why? You know, why can't we come at peace? But they made the sacrifice. They gave their life for us. We can argue about wars, and as I tell people, you know, no matter what your opinion is on the Middle East right now, it's not a problem. The fact is, they're doing their signed contract duty for this country. They gave their life, so don't be mad at them. They did what their job was.
Now, this may sound like a strange question, but for some of our older community who are listening right now, is it okay if they come out there with a lawn chair and just set it up somewhere to the side?
We have a lot of people do that. We will try to have some tents set up because of the heat if people want to sit under there. We have had people come and sit there for 2 and 3 hours just looking at the flags. Let me also say we do have handicap parking, and we do have some golf carts that will get people from the parking area into the field. If they cannot walk through the field, we will be glad to ride them down through some of the flags because we have those golf carts. And we just want anybody to come out and enjoy it. It is bring a picnic. You know, if you want to come out there and sit and have a picnic. We've had families actually sit under a flag and had their little Subway sandwich and sitting there eating their sandwiches. And that's fine. That's what we want it to be.
Now, you'll probably have a little more room off to the sides this year as you know, compared to when it was at the Avenue. Because when it was at the Avenue, you had a lot of construction-type mounds all around, but you won't have that here.
We won't have that here, and let me also, we will have porta-johns if somebody needs those, so we have got it pretty well covered. Let's say we got water if you get too hot. We will have a tent that if somebody does get heat stroke that they can go into and cool off. The EMS is donating to us. I think they call it the cool chamber or something like that. But, yes, you know, come on out, enjoy the weekend, just reflect, and you can come more. There's no admission charge, and like you said, we're pretty much the lights there at nighttime. We're available 24 hours. Just the exchange lights can't work 24 hours a day out there.
All of this taking place this weekend. If you have a church group or a scout group that wants to help, they can come out tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Yes. We have a lot of church groups that come, and they all have T-shirts from their church, and you'll see these going by, and it's kind of neat. It's like, well, look, XYZ Church was able to participate in this. So.
All of that, again, this weekend, closing ceremony, 5 o'clock, Memorial Day, Monday. So make sure you come out, bring
right.
your family.
And again, remind people, it's 3041 Memorial there at Osborne Lane across from Wilson Bank. And look forward to seeing them, and God bless America.
Sounds good. Don Wright with us, the National Exchange Club president, and he is right here in Murfreesboro. Don, we'll talk to you again, I guess, Saturday.
All right, Scott, thank you.
Right now that time, 8:56, more news comes your way in just a little while. You're tuned to WGNS. Good morning to you.